Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got a good guest across the way that we're going to talk about all kinds of different things today. Has anybody ever said you were a quiet, resigned personality or anything like that? Keep to yourself?
Bruce, I don't think maybe that since maybe first grade when I moved to Fairfield and New Hope School and didn't know anybody.
Where were you before?
I was born in Murfreesboro.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I thought your dad had the farm. I mean, that's the thing. I thought your dad had the farm always.
No, our family moved to Fairfield in 1964 when he bought the farm with his brother Lewis.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Diane Zerlini, superintendent at the Fairfield Grade School Systems. What is that, section 112 or something like that?
Yeah, PSD 112.
PSD 112, okay. Appreciate you coming in this morning as we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. First thing I want to know about is when's the El Dorado game going to be played? Because that was one that was going to be a tight one. I want to know when the El Dorado game is going to be played.
We are still working on the El Dorado game, but our plan is to reschedule it. Obviously, you know, we had that flu bug.
You're getting into the flu.
Yes.
I want to talk about the flu a little bit.
Okay.
How many kids ended up going home? What was the story on
that? From what we can gather, and I talked with Clark Griffith out at the Wayne County Health Department, and as soon as we had kids start dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Throwing up and other things. I called Clark and I...
Oh, no. You had other things?
Yes.
That makes for a long day for the janitor.
Yeah, Jackie Davis was busy that day.
Yeah.
I have to give some credit to Jackie because he's got a strong stomach.
Okay. But, all right, I'm not going any farther down that
road. I think that's enough there, but... When we started getting into the 35 and 40 kids, first thing we looked at was.
How does this flow to basically? Because you went to school that morning, you probably didn't realize you didn't even think about it. You were going to in the middle of a flu epidemic.
Oh no! And the amazing thing is, it never hit Northside, and that's where my office is. And
oh, is so, that right? So
oh,
this
yeah.
was Center Street.
Center Street, basically.
And it never hit the high school either, right?
No. So it's kind of like, you know, when you hear about on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And a virus, whatever they call it.
Nova virus.
Yes. When it goes through, that's what basically we think happened in the hospital things happened to Center Street. So once kids started dropping like flies, being sick and coming in and complaining of headache.
What happened, by the way? I mean, what would it?
They just came in and said, "My don't feel good, my stomach hurts, my head hurts." And then invariably, it wasn't too long that they started throwing up.
Huh.
So I called Clark, and he said, have you eliminated that it being something with your cafeteria? And I said, yes, we have. I said, because it's kids that eat in the cafeteria. It's kids that bring their lunch every day. I said, I don't think it's that. I said, I think we've got some kind of stomach bug going around, Clark. So immediately we told our janitorial staff, hey, we got to start.
We got issues.
Yes. We've got some issues.
Load up on sawdust.
Yes. Well, that plus start getting our disinfectant out and wiping down door handles, the water fountains where the kids, because germs are passed through your hands.
Sure.
We started announcing to the kids. We did it over the loudspeaker. We had the teachers, hey, when you go to the bathroom, wash your hands thoroughly, 30 seconds, everything. So you go through that.
You know, the thing is, the kids are probably pretty good at doing that, too.
Yeah, because you hit that pretty hard, especially in grade, because, you know, you've got 400 kids there.
Yeah.
And
well, I was going to ask you, that's something I'm going to ask you as we go along here, and I'll get to it here in a minute, but I was going to ask you, how do you keep from getting sick?
You know what? I hardly ever. The last time I got sick like that's probably been 10 years ago.
Oh,
so
really?
I get a cold. But...
Well, the reason I ask is because I go to these games all the time now, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that time of year. I'm inside. It's cool in football season when we're outside. I'm never hanging around with anybody. I'm not really a germaphobe, but boy, I tend to get sicker in the wintertime than I do in the fall.
Well, I take a flu shot every year.
Yeah.
You know, the last 15 years.
But that probably wouldn't have helped you in this
But
case.
I think it still does. I think your body starts, even though it's because of the flu, I still think it makes up antibodies for immunes.
Okay, so you called Clark.
Yes.
You call Clark and you start working, hey, we've got issues.
Yes.
We've got issues going on.
Yes.
All right, then what happened?
So then
you clean stuff.
We clean stuff. We told, put it out on our Facebook page, our Center Street Facebook page. Hey, if your kid's got a fever, keep them home for 24 hours. If they're still don't feel well the next morning, don't send them back to school. We'll make it. Luckily, this was on a Thursday. So Thursday we sent it. We had about close to 70 that went home or didn't show up that day. Friday was a little less, but it was still in the 60s. And then we had the weekend. So the weekend really helped us.
Weekend got – well, that let the thing cycle through.
Yes, yes.
And were adults getting it too, or was it just the
not
children?
Too many. That was my fear, because if we had a lot of teachers go down, we weren't going to be able to have school.
Yeah.
So that was my fear Thursday night.
Yeah, and how are you going to get subs?
You can't.
Yeah, I mean, for crying out loud, if you've got a teacher's going down in the middle of a boom, a flash flu epidemic. That's what you ought to call it.
Yeah, you're not worried about the kids. You are worried about attendance and things like that, because it goes into your state aid, but November's not one of the, you know, people think, well, you have 20%. There's no set number. That's totally up to the administration and your superintendent talking to your school board members. Hey, we've got a lot out or something like that. Yeah. That's a joint decision. But your main concern is teachers. Well, we're going to have enough teachers.
And how many subs want to come into that situation?
That's true. Plus, there is a sub shortage. Not just in Fairfield or Wayne County, but across the state.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's a sub shortage.
You know, that's the thing. You guys pay pretty good.
Yeah, but it's you know.
And it's cash. Well, not cash, but it's close to cash.
There's a sub shortage. So Gay Wright takes care of our subs, one of our secretaries, and I told her, I said, you keep me updated through text about what's going on. This is on a Thursday night. And she said, okay. And so we didn't have teachers call in. So obviously adults were more immune to this bug than children were.
And it wasn't the food.
Nope.
That's just amazing, because the adults were eating the food too, and
yes,
and all the kids were eating the food, and it was only hitting some of the kids and some of the other kids.
Yes.
Have we ever been able to track down where it started or where it was getting communicated?
No, we haven't. And so when we came back to school on that Monday,
well, see, that was back in November.
Well, it was the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it was week before Thanksgiving, so it was mid month.
Yep.
What was the weather?
Nice. We were outside.
That was my next question. Were you all outside for recess?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, that just, had you ever seen that before?
No, I had never seen it before.
Because you've been an administrator now for...
Well, this is my eighth year.
Eighth year here.
And I was 13 years as the...
I was thinking about 20 years, starting an AD maybe or whatever.
I was 8 years as principal and... 3 years as dean of students at the high school.
Right.
And then 13 years as a teacher, so.
And you'd never seen anything like that? I get a text. This is how I found out about it. I don't have children. Knock wood, thank heavens. I don't have children. So I get a text, the ball game's canceled due to flu epidemic. Oh, come on. El Dorado's got the flu? What a bunch of wimps. They're not going to have the games? And then I think, well, yeah, wait a minute. That might be us.
No, it was mainly the junior high kids, too.
Oh, was that
so,
right?
Yeah, so, like, there were probably 7 or 8 ball players.
What El Dorado think when Yvette called them?
They didn't want us to come.
I'll bet you, Yvette, that was probably an easy
phone call. When we explained what was going on, they said, fine, we'll reschedule, stay in Fairfield. And we probably would have said the same thing, because you don't want that once it gets going. But we were very fortunate that
You know, that's the other thing. You were able to keep it enclosed.
Yes.
I'm surprised when you say it didn't hit Northside at all. That's what surprises me, because you would have had older siblings at Center Street hanging around with
their brothers. Immediately at Northside started the same thing. The janitor started disinfecting everything.
Yeah.
We started our hand washing routine with the kids. Let's go through that again. Obviously, it's a little different with younger kids.
Yeah.
And we've had some help there, because Teresa Kaiser came in earlier this year and gave a hand washing demonstration to a lot of our classes. She's a nurse, and her daughter Heidi's one of our board members. Yeah. And she said, "Hey, Mom used to do this at North Wayne. Would you guys consider like it?" And I said, "Heck yeah!" So she came in.
Well, see, now that's the thing. There is a method, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, she takes glitter and she shows how germs can spread. So it's very evident to the kid because, you know, when you talk about germs, they can't see germs. Right. They don't know what you're talking about, especially kindergarten and first graders.
Yeah.
But when you have glitter, and they can see how that glitter spreads, and it hits in their head. So, yeah, so we increased our hand-washing efforts at Northside, and so hopefully that helped a lot. And I've got to get a big credit to our janitorial staff on what they do.
Who all are they besides Jackie?
Well, at Center Street, I have Kenny Brooks is our head of maintenance, and then we've got Jackie, and then Daniel Simpson and Aaron Denton are our night guys there. And then at Northside, Chuck Harrell is during the day and Jimmy Scott at night. And those guys do a great job.
I've got Diane Zerlini here. We're talking about all kinds of things. We probably won't talk too much more about sick kids, if that's okay with you.
That'd be fine with me, Bruce.
You don't want to talk about sick kids ever again. The Flash Flu. I love that. That's a good name.
I know, Flash Flu.
Flash Flu event. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these messages.
Chances you won't be denied. When my heart is where it's always been, my head is somewhere in between. Give me one more chance, let me be a lover tonight. Give me half a chance to ride on the waves that you bring. Your heart will shout to a swarm of bees, gonna blow right through you like the breeze. Give me one last dance to slide down the surface of pain. You're the real thing.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Diane Zerlini. She's the superintendent of the Fairfield Grade School System, and we've been talking about they had the Flash Flu event last week. But you've got all kinds of other stuff going on at Center Street and at Northside, don't you, you're not busy at all until Christmas, right?
Oh, December's always a busy year. But, you know, it's a fun time. Kids make Christmas fun. So
yeah.
So this is a good month.
What do you got coming up?
Well, our Christmas programs are starting next week. Monday night, we are at the First Christian Church. They generously allow us to use their facility. And so Monday night we have kindergarten and third grade Christmas program. Tuesday night is first and second grade Christmas program. Wednesday night is fourth and fifth grade Christmas program. And Thursday night is pre-K program. And then the next Wednesday at our new gym at Center Street is our band and chorus Christmas program.
You've got that many different programs? Like, how many kids are involved? Is it the whole class?
Yes, it's the whole class. So, I mean, when you talk about, so we have two grades together. It used to be that they did one night And
with all of them.
With all of them, and no one got to get in the gym, and it was just, it's not fair to the parents and the grandparents that want to come see their kids perform.
Yeah.
So we split it up. I mean, it's a lot of work on our part, but that's fine because it's about the kids and it's about our parents. So they really appreciate that. So, you know, we go to the Christian church, and it's a very comfortable setting and nice chairs to sit in and a great sound system. And Jeff Lyons does a great job with our kids. And it's a good place for them. And you know, the kids come in their best, their Christmas best. They dress up. The boys are dressed up. There's a great place for them to take pictures. So it really works out well for us.
How long, what is it entailed in the Christmas program?
Well, for us.
Just singing, or do you have a play?
It's just singing because, okay. I mean, we've got 75 kids in a class. So it's very hard because you want to involve everyone. So we sing, but that's fine because people just want to see their children perform. And so that's what's good.
Right. I guess that makes sense.
So that's along with on the basketball games that we have and everything else going on. So it's a busy month.
Well, that's the thing. You're going to be there all week for, sounds like a week and a half, right?
Well, a whole week, yeah. Next week, Monday through Thursday, and then we've got home basketball games. Girls are on the road, and then the next week we do the Christmas program.
How the teams are doing?
All pretty well. The girls are right at 500. We've had some injury issues there. We've had a couple concussions this year. That seems to be, yeah. One of them was pretty serious on a young lady. So
now, do you guys use the training staff? Like, I know the high schools around
the area. Yes, Sarah's very good about coming over and helping with our kids. I mean, we don't have an agreement yet with Wabash, but she comes over and helps us quite a bit. But
that's been a godsend. It's been really nice.
They provided someone for our boys tournament in the end of October. We had a trainer there every night. And we didn't have to utilize her services, but it's always fantastic to have someone there. But we had to have, this was the first year that we had to have a concussion protocol at the junior high level.
Really?
Yes, at the high school level.
So like a national federation?
Well, the IHSA had one. They've done it for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And they have to do the baseline testing. We don't have to do that, but we're considering doing that after what we've encountered this year with girls basketball, because it will help the doctors if something happened again. But this is, we had to do a concussion protocol.
What exactly does that entail? You always hear they're going into the concussion protocol, even all the way up to the NFL. That basically means that they've had a head injury, not a head.
And that they have to be monitored about.
Oh, okay.
And before they can come back to school or to playing time.
To school
time.
Too, huh?
Yes, it goes through school because this young lady that's going through protocol now, she's still, and it's been over a month, half a day, and she's still encountering headaches, things like that, especially from light. So it's a good thing.
She really got a head knock.
Yes, and the teachers, they have a copy of the concussion protocol. If the student tells them, hey, my head still hurts, I can't look at the screen, a video screen or anything like that, then you have to back it down. So your ultimate goal is to get them back to school full time and get them back on the playing court. But it may take a length of time.
Yeah, some players in both football and basketball don't come back.
Yes, and it's a good thing because, you know, your brain cells,
and they're growing for your kids.
They're growing, they've got the rest of their lives. So I'd rather be overly cautious than take some chance of somebody, you know, going through something terrible later on in life because we weren't vigilant about concussions.
How's the boys team doing?
The boys team is 12-0 now.
That's pretty solid. I keep seeing these scores. I haven't been to a game yet. JMO sends me the scores.
Yes.
And I feel bad that I haven't been to a game yet, but I apologize. I've got other things going.
No, just a little bit.
But they're playing pretty solid, aren't they?
They're playing pretty solid. We played at the Summersville shootout. We played T-Town. We made that matchup happen because
does T-Town typically come down to Summersville?
They've been coming to Summersville since 2004.
Okay.
And so normally they try to match up a JV and a varsity for them. But we started calling this summer and said, hey, we'd really like to play Teutopolis because they are the gold standard, not just in high school, but in junior high, too.
The entire program, top to bottom.
Yes, 7th and 8th grade. Right. Their 7th grade one, IESA State, is 7th, because they do a 7th grade and an 8th grade, IESA. And we're SIJHSA. But so Somersville was very gracious, and they
allowed. So this is the only time you'll have to face T-Town.
Yes,
you wouldn't see them in at Red Lake.
No, because normally
if you make it that far.
The SIJHSA is normally Route 50 South. We've picked up a bunch of Metro East schools this year, but normally it's 50 and South. So.
I always have trouble explaining that to people, and I'm not really sure I understand it all that well. How the IESA works as opposed to how the SIJHSA.
Really, they work the same. We have almost exactly the same bylaws. We follow a lot of the things the IHSA does in terms of bylaws and protocol. It's just, I think it's because of travel.
Is that right?
Yes.
How many of those little different things are there across the state?
There's just two. There's IESA and SIJHSA.
So everyone...
Unless it's Chicago publicly. I have no idea what they do in the Chicago public school system.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, so T-Town and the IESA, if they advance.
Oh, they play teams out of the suburbs if they get far enough.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I always wondered how that worked, mm-hmm. if it went that far. That's
yes, it
cool.
does.
And they won the seventh grade level of that.
They did.
That's why in the IESA they have like eight different classes.
Yes, because they go from and so they're only playing schools of their size.
Yeah. You know, whereas in SIJHSA, it's
SMNL.
It's three classes.
Small, medium, large.
Yeah, that makes – now that all is beginning to come a little clearer.
And for them, how do they do that? The top 16 schools with enrollment are the L.
Okay.
Not 16, but they take
– 32. Well, however – yes. Let's see. Are there eight regionals with four teams in each regional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the next M's the next.
Right.
So 32 there, and then everybody else is
And
S.
that's why and that's why
in, there's 16 in the regional in S.
Well, there's 16 go to Red Lake.
Yes, because there's so many small schools.
And that's a really nice deal. It gets the kids a chance
to participate. Yes, it does. So we got to play T-Town, and we won. We won by 5 points. So that was kind of a win that told us whether
you can play.
Yes.
The hopes must be high.
Well, I don't know about high, because you don't ever know how kids are going to go on towards high school.
Well, I'm talking about for the next 2 months.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm talking about...
Definitely, but we've just got to take care of business.
I'm talking about into February.
I mean, this is a group that I started at Northside when this group was in first grade, and this is a group that played basketball constantly. The boys did on the playground.
Is that right?
And they have continued that going up.
You know, you've been a basketball coach. We'll talk more in the last segment about that. But you kind of get an idea. You watch these kids grow up as opposed to being in high school and watching them when they get there,
mm-hmm.
seeing the skills they have when they get there. You've been at the grade school level for, like we said, several years now. You kind of get an idea of which classes are going to be better than others, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Because you can tell who's out there on the playground, dribbling basketball.
Is that what matters most, just how often that they're screwing around on their own with it?
Yeah. It's not what you're doing in practice with a coach. It's what you're doing on your own, practicing on your own.
Yeah.
And you see the kids that do that and don't. And that, you know, when parents start talking about why my child's playing or not playing – first thing I'm going to say is, do they play on their own, or are they just coming in here? Because if they're just coming in here, they're not going to improve their skills enough. You've got to work just like anything else. I mean,
well, see, now that's exactly like when I was in school. We had one kid that would go. He lived two blocks away from the grade school, and he was there every day,
mm-hmm.
shooting the ball for 2-3 hours. Just that's how he spent his day. He had a good time, and he turned out to be the best player we probably had from 1981 until 1988. You know, when he had Chris Simpson.
Yes.
He was tough.
Yes.
He was a good player. And how difficult is it to get is it a generalization that the kids are playing video games and not getting off their couch and going to shoot around and playing sports? Or is that a generalization?
No, it's not a generalization. It's a big change. It's a big change because on those video games, you can be LeBron.
Right.
You can be Seth Curry.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be those people than try... And I understand that. And if I was their age, I might have done the same thing.
Right.
But, you know, when I grew up, I was out on the farm. So what did you do? You shot baskets.
You're shooting baskets with pigs.
That's right. Or truck drivers that delivered fertilizer or anything else. You shot baskets.
Well, we're talking about basketball. May as well talk about it now. You it's the 25-year anniversary coming up for the state team. That must be gives you a lot of it gives you a chance, doesn't it, to maybe think more about those. Those were heady days, weren't they?
That was some of the best times ever, Bruce. Not just for me personally, but for Fairfield High School, for our community, because something like that brings your community together in a way that.
Did you think you'd ever see before, and we haven't seen it since, the lines to buy tickets?
No.
Like we saw, I mean, hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of people lined up to buy tickets.
When?
You couldn't get tickets.
No, you couldn't get tickets. I'll always remember this. I had to, after we beat Newton.
After you beat T-Town.
After we beat at Newton. After we beat Red Hill at T-Town.
Oh, okay.
After we beat Red Hill at T-Town on that Friday night, which, you know.
That was at Newton.
But yes, at Newton, yeah. Which was a miracle in itself.
Beat T-Town on Tuesday, beat Red Hill on Friday.
Yes. So,
which was a miracle.
Which, I mean, you know, when you have a guy at the line that shoots 90%, and he misses a free throw.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
for
Red Hill.
Yes,
right.
And Murphy gets the rebound and goes down and throws to Kylie
for the jumper, for the 12
jumper,
footer,
the banker,
or whatever it was.
That goes in and the crowd goes nuts and everything like that.
Yeah, that was a floor. That was a charge the floor moment.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I was in the top row
and you couldn't hear anything, and our people are going crazy. Red Hill's people are laying on the floor, and you know that's, you know, when they talk about the agony and ecstasy of sports, that right there in a shot, single shot, is what it was. But we came home that night, and we took the bus, the fire truck ride. That's still when we could get on the fire truck. Yeah. So we took the fire truck ride through town.
Now the fire truck drives in front. That's cool.
That's okay. We can handle that. Yeah, that's safe. But everybody came out of their houses, and they were lining the streets. And it was just amazing. I mean, they literally stood out on their front porches and took their cars and went to the main street in Delaware and met us at the gym. And then people started lining up then.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear stories about they grilled all night and whatever. Well, I had to get up the next morning. And
I was lining up for super tickets.
Yes. So I had to go to Alney to get a tape. Dan Denton had a tape on Jerseyville. So I had to go to Alney to get a tape.
Thought we played Freeburg.
Freeburg. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So he had a tape of them. So Coach Odom said, Diane, you go get that tape. So I drove by school first because I, you know.
Live nearby.
Yes. And that's still when I lived out in the country.
Oh,
but
okay.
I wanted to see what it looked like. And, I mean, there are people everywhere. And it was – I always remember this because Coach's comments.
And is Larry doing Coach's comments by himself?
By himself.
Yes. Stan always wondered, why did he want to do that by himself? I'm a good interviewer, doggone. What do you thought?
And I had my window open. And everybody, that's the first thing, you know. It's a beautiful sunny day in Fairfield.
Yeah.
That's how I came on. And everybody, it was just echoed. And that was one of the coolest things I'd ever heard.
That's really cool.
Uh-huh.
I was going to ask you, since we were talking about him, what is your favorite Larry Odom memory, you think, of from that time frame? And Larry's still with us, and God bless him. He gets out and golfs, but you don't seem to do a whole lot more than that.
No, but I tell you, I was very fortunate to be an assistant along with DK Wood, and there's a lot of them, but I'll always remember after we lost to Red Hill in the conference, and we thought, to him, conference meant a lot because back then the NEC was
right.
It was tough.
Well,
I mean,
it was the bee's knees. It was the be all end all.
So we lost to Red Hill the second time, and so we knew we weren't going to win the conference. We'd won the conference the year before,
right?
So that was a really big blow. So we were sitting there, and I said, "Hey, we got to go to Altamont and watch T-Town. We're going to play them in the sectional." So he said, "Okay." So we went up there, and we drove up there, and Altamont's got a really cool old gym. So we went to Altamont.
That's one I've never been in. I need to go see Altamont.
They had their conference tournament. That's back
okay.
when T-Town was in the
National
NTC.
Trail,
yes. So we were driving home, and he turned to me, and he said, Z, we can beat T-Town. And I said, what? Because, I mean, they were good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he said, that press is not going to bother us. I know what to do against it. He said, we can beat T-Town. So lo and behold, we did. So,
yeah. See, now that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. That's good. I've got Diane Zerlini here. We're talking about all kinds of different things. When we get back, we're going to get back to school for a little while. I'm also going to ask her take on the recent Cardinals moves, as well as, you never know, might talk a little high school basketball, current high school basketball, what she sees, because she sees a lot, too. And we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
Well, I feel a little tired, and I think I'm going to go back home. Well, I feel a little tired, and I think I'm going to go back home. If I don't see no cops, then the trip won't take that long. Well, I'm going to be fly tonight on a lone highway where no drunks are bound. I'm going to be balling the jack on the open road where no cops are bound. I got to go 100 miles to get back to my town.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. I appreciate you tuning in today. It is 947, 41 degrees outside. My guest across the way is the lovely and talented Miss Diane Zerlini, and she's the superintendent of Fairfield Grade Schools. We really kind of get off the we got off the track, didn't we?
A little bit.
A little bit. We always can.
I know. That's fun. That's fine.
That's a good time. Tell me a little bit about, there's a new program or a new situation at your schools that you folks have implemented. Tell me a little bit about Makerspace. I don't know. I've never heard of this.
Well, Makerspace is kind of a come about in the last 3 or 4 years in putting for students that to go create, design, develop, think, and it's very hands-off. It's very...
Would this be similar to what we used to call independent study, but a little bit...
No, it's not independent study. It kind of, you know, we've gotten away from the vocational, some of the old vocational stuff, but this is creativity, working together. We've taken an old computer lab because now all of our kids have their own Chromebooks.
Oh, really? Okay.
So our computer labs are kind of going to the wayside. We have third through eighth grade each have their own Chromebook. And
okay.
our next step in that is they can take them home.
Okay.
That's our next step, and hopefully that's going to happen maybe this year, probably next year.
Okay.
So we've taken an old computer lab, and we've kind of gutted it. We've put some neat galvanized tin in there to make it more comfortable setting.
Right.
And so we've gotten a grant for...
it less school-like.
Yes, less school-like. It's got tables. There's no desks. They don't sit in rows or anything like that. We've gotten a grant for $1,000 worth of duct tape because there's all kinds of things you can make with duct tape.
$1,000 worth of duct tape.
Yes, $1,000 worth of duct tape.
I love it.
We've got another grant, rural and low income, where we've bought programmable drones.
Oh, really?
Two of them don't have cameras. Two do. So the kids have to learn how to and coding. Where you can make your own programs.
So there'll be these air vehicles, I guess, on the drone vehicles. Can you control them from the ground, or you have to program it beforehand?
They have to code the program in to make it do what they want to do, because coding is very big. And then coding is how you make video games or anything like that.
Right.
So we are doing coding in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Coding in grade school?
Yes.
Wow.
So,
see, you know, it... 5 years ago, if I told you about coding in grade school, I would be thinking, making sure the kids are wearing coats when it's cold.
10 years ago, we didn't have iPads.
Well,
So we're preparing these kids for jobs that have never even been invented.
Right.
So we have to think differently. So we've gotten a lot of Legos, plus just regular Legos, plus the Legos with computer brains that the kids can program and make a move and do things.
There's robot Legos.
Yes, robotic Legos. And there are robotic Lego competitions that we think we'd like to get interested in. And art supplies, if you're leaning more towards the
robotic
arts.
Robotic Lego competitions in grade schools.
Yes.
Wow.
I know there are some.
See, that's the thing. I mean, they had that big, it wasn't Legos, but they had the big robotic competition over in St. Louis.
Yes.
This summer, right?
Yes, I follow that.
Do you?
Yes.
What age group? That's college kids, right?
That's high school kids.
Oh, that's high school kids.
That's high school kids.
Okay.
But
this is kind of a training ground.
Yes.
Possibly for
it's,
that.
It's
right?
More close. I think the closest is probably, I've read about them in Evansville, that they do this. And so we'd like to get involved in that. It's kind of an extension of the Olympiads that we've gone mm-hmm. to for years.
Yeah.
So it's creative thinking. It's thinking outside the box. The problems that they give you, that's what, because we've kind of gone away from being a nation of problem solvers.
Right.
And thinking.
And we've kind of gone to just filling out the
yes.
filling out the bubbles
yes.
on the sheet, right?
Yes. And so we've got to go back, because when we grew up, you were out figuring out your own
right.
You know, we were problem solvers,
right.
and we've gotten
we're dropping
away from
eggs
that.
Off the roof.
Yes. And so now we need to get back to that, and that's what maker spaces are. And a lot of districts do it in their libraries, because libraries have gone away from just books. You still need books, but you've also got to incorporate the technology aspect and the welcoming aspect and the makerspace. I mean, eventually we want beanbag chairs in there for kids to sit in and think about what, you know. It's if you look at the workplace now in places like Google and Yahoo and how
Amazon.
and what they're looking for in the people they hire, this is what they're looking for: people that can work collaboratively.
Skills, like skills coding.
Yes.
Skills, useful skills, but also being able to think.
Yes, and work with others. Working with others is big. So eventually we want to get away from kids sitting in rows, that they're collaborating
yeah.
together, that even our regular math. And
see, that was
and,
always
and,
the coolest day in school whenever we'd move our desks around to the circle form or something like
because
that.
Because we've talked all along about the teacher being the sage on the stage, but with technology, but technology doesn't drive it all, because teaching is still at the forefront, and,
sure.
and the professional teacher and the mastery that you gained, but that it's more student-led and student-focused, and that's where we're looking at for our teachers.
Is that, I presume, let me make the presumption here of what that is geared toward, is that if you have the student-led type of situation like that, they're going to be more interested, right?
They're going to be more interested, and they remember.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And, you know, I'm holding up my cell phone right now, but we're not the givers of information anymore.
Right.
Because you can get information anyway.
Right.
What we have to do is teach kids how to solve problems.
Right.
With the information that they can get or they have.
Boy, what a... You know, your job is getting trickier and trickier and trickier as years pass.
You know, but it's a cool time to be in education. I
really?
Mean, it's changing, and it's hard, because change is always hard. But to see the things that are out there.
What's coming up?
Oh, man.
What's on the frontier? What's on the what's the edge of the envelope for grade school teaching, for teaching the kids?
Well,
because I would think this makerspace, you'd be able to develop into how many kids are able to use
there's
it.
There's so much more information out there about how students learn. About how people learn. And I think that's going to be our next, that we, and it used to be that the teacher, you know, you shut the door and you were like an island unto yourself.
Right.
No. With Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and all that, we're one big community now.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, feeling like yourself, I can put out on Twitter, hey, I've got a whole group of superintendents. We did this yesterday in our administrative meeting. We were talking about a different Discovery Ed. We'd use that as our testing for some of our testing, and they're doing away with that. And so we were debating between two different kinds, and Dr. England said, hey, I'll just get on my Voxer group and see what other
people are doing.
Yes, and so he got back immediate answers. And, I mean, he's
as opposed to having to go to Chicago Convention.
Yes,
once a year to find
yes.
out an answer.
Because
to something.
Now you can just go out and you don't even have to use the phone because I can get 50 answers in 10 seconds.
And then you've got to teach.
Or
and what
I can,
you're teaching is how to evaluate.
Yes,
what you see.
And then they can say, hey, you can talk to our head of our curriculum and see what we're doing. So now you just don't have to. You've got instant connection with schools that are doing some really cool stuff,
yeah.
And you think, hey, we can do that too. You don't have to start high. You can start and build up.
How do you gauge the success of such programs? I mean that comes into the testing. We don't have enough time. We're not going to talk about that. But how do you gauge the success, how do you gauge the success of your makerspace?
If it helps students become better problem solvers, if we see that they can work collaboratively, if we see that the wheels are that they're engaged and they're going home and saying, "Hey, this is cool," and yes, we have standards that we're graded on, and a lot of the standards, the new standards, deal with these type of things. So that's where we as teachers, and I still consider myself a teacher, have to change in how we evaluate that. It's just not an A, B, C, or D.
Yeah,
it's how are you good at problem solving? Can we put a question in front of you and, hey, I know how to do that. And there may be 10 different ways to do it, and that's fine.
As long as they know how to evaluate that and
yes.
get it right.
Yes.
How about that? There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes, there is.
I meant to ask you about all kinds of other things today, Diana. We've run out of time.
Hey, just ask me back.
Tell me about Jaime Garcia.
Good trade. We needed a break. He needed a break. I think he's mentally wearing on coaches and players.
Lost a left-hander, though. He lost a left-hander, starter. You hate losing lefties. Come on, it's a lefty.
I just think it was time for him to go.
You realize I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yes, you do, because you're happy to.
Oh, I can't wait to see him in a Braves uniform.
Obviously, we're making moves because we have not been used to being in second place.
Yeah, are you I'm not even going to ask you on the air what your reaction was to the Cubs' victory.
Well, no, they had a good year. I'm not one of those fans. I mean, does it kill me? Yes, it does. But I also realize that when a team's better than you, you just have to say they're better than us and we've got to get better.
You've got to work harder.
We've got to work harder. And that, I think that's the intent of the Cardinals. Sometimes injuries play a role in that. Things that are out of your control. Obviously, we got to come up with a bat.
Let's get a bat. Hey, thank you so much for coming in, Z.
No problem, Bruce.
Appreciate
anytime.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great weekend.